Blog Talk Radio.
That we're told not to do something,
And if we do it, then we sin. And then things that we're told to do that if we don't do, we sin. We're going to look into those things. And so I pray that you have paper and pencil on you. In just a minute, let me see. Let me text someone to make sure they know that we are on, because I know the sister does not like to miss. Give me one hot second here. Where is your number? Okay, give me a hot second. For some reason, I don't see this number. One second, please. Okay, while we wait on this, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, whether you're in North America, South America, the African continent, European theater, the Far East, or any of the communist bloc countries that we are streaming to. All right, Sister LaGracia, just giving you a reminder that we are in class right now, so if you want to sign on, that would be time. Hello. All right. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. As I said, we're in the newcomers class, so I want to say shalom to everyone. You can open up your mic because this is participatory. And so I'll be asking you to confirm that you are going to the scriptures and those types of things. We want to get into understanding sin and how the scriptures define it, how the Most High defines it. It's something that we all need to know. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. We're going to go ahead and get into this. And we will be starting off with, sins of omission and sins of commission, defining, just what the Most High defines in those areas. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Any men listening, uncover your head and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. We adore thee, for you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And another will we not bow down to and worship, for you are our Elohim, the wise and only true presence, Father. And we just want to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. So as we go forth on today, Father, let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. Let it be you that is heard and not Brother Miles. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Father, for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There is none like you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. On today, as I was saying, we are going to be starting them off with sins of omission and sins of commission. Okay, and so in our lesson plan, we have sins can be looked at from the positive and the negative points of view in the sense of acts committed and acts omitted. Sins of commission, positive, not that they're positive, but they are things that you have to do. Some examples of these types, let us go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and let's get verse 13, and when you have it, if you'll say amen. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting in verse 13.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. And as I said, if you're here, I'm expecting you to participate. So unmute your mics and let's all do this together.
Amen.
All right, amen. Of omission, Exodus chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. And you know how to get there myself, asking everybody else. All right, Exodus chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. Thou shalt not kill. Don't do it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. These are examples of sins that you're not, that you think that you're not supposed to do. And they would be sins of omission, not to do them. Commission is sins that are positive, things that you should do. And I got this backwards. Okay, these are sins that of commission. They're positive, but you should not do them. Okay, so thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And any other thou shalt not do would be a sin of commission, okay? Sins of omission, negative. Let's look at some of these types of sins. 1 Samuel chapter 12. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to be getting verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. And when you have it, if you say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Moreover, as for me, Elohim forbid that I should sin against Yah in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. So he says, Elohim forbid that he should sin by ceasing to pray for someone. Okay? So this is something that it's a sin of omission, something that you would stop doing. You're supposed to do it, and you what? Don't do it? Okay, so that's an example that you should, we are always supposed to pray for each other, and, you know, to pray that, you know, somebody that has fallen, that they return to the Most High. And we're supposed to not stop praying. go to James chapter 2, the book of James chapter 2. And we're going to be getting verses 15 and 16. James chapter 2, 15
amen.
And 16. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? What good is it if I tell you to be blessed and know you're in need and don't do for you? That's a sin. Because we're told to, you know, to always help our brothers and our sisters and always have, you know, have an open hand. And as much as we can do it, we're supposed to do it. So if you have a brother or a sister that is, they're naked and destitute, they're homeless, then, and you stand to them, you know, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, and you know they got no way to what? Do that? But you got the means to do it, and you don't, then it's a what?
Sin.
It's a sin.
Sin.
Okay, it's a sin of omission because you were supposed to do something that you didn't. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we're going to get verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is what?
A sin.
If you know to do something that is good, to do good, and you know it's to do something to rectify it or do whatever, and you don't do it, then it's sin to you. Because the Most High commands us to what? Take care of each other?
Mm-hmm.
To not see your brother destitute or your sister destitute? To not see them in need? If you have an abundance and they have a lack? And so to not do for them when you know to do for them is a good, it is sin. It's of omission. Supposed to do a good, but you fail to do it. 1 John chapter 3. 1 Chapter 3, we're going to be getting verse 17, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, and when you have it, say amen.
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 But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? You have what you need. You have the world's good. You have, you know, in other words, you're not wanting. And you see your brother have need. Your bowels of compassion from them. How dwelleth the love of Elohim in you? So we, you know, as for the community and, at, you know, what the scriptures say, we are... we're supposed to not have anything in abundance ourselves. If we have anything in abundance and somebody is lacking, then we're supposed to give them out of our abundance. That's the way that the Most High wants his body to operate. It's not every man for himself. Because we got that mentality, especially in the West. We got that mentality. But we got to all be living by the what? Same standard? We got awful quiet.
Yes.
We sure about that?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No.
Why are you not sure about that?
I'm sure I'm supposed to do it, but I was going to ask the question, like, okay, like, you help someone, and you continue to help them, and they still, they ain't changing, and they ain't trying to change. Do you still supposed to keep on helping?
Then are they, who is your brother and your sister?
The ones that's trying to do the Father's work.
Right, the ones that are doing his work and actually really trying to do it.
Okay.
Who are obeying his commandments. This is not just for everybody off the street.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Because he tells you, how do you know the love of Elohim? Or how do you know he knows that you love your brethren, but that you obey his commandments?
Okay.
And they got to be doing the same thing.
Okay. All right.
And then we have an obligation to take care of each other.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, you got people out there that they ain't trying to do good. They ain't trying to be right. They're spending their time, you know, doing whatever with their money. You know, they'll go shop up a storm and buy clothes and tell you they ain't got nothing to eat.
Right.
Stuff like that. No, that's not what he's talking about here. And that's not, you know, it is, that's why it's important that everybody understands the rules. Everybody's on the what, same page?
Right.
And we're doing the same thing.
It's like the usury, right? It's like usury or enabling.
Define that when you're talking about usury, because I'm not really sure how you're using that.
That's like if somebody just
be using you. I wouldn't say. Yeah, I understand what you're using that word usury in that capacity. But that's somebody taking advantage of you.
Right.
Okay, and they are not being right because as soon as they get, they're not going to give. They're not going to try to, you know, even though you're giving to them out of your abundance, if they have an abundance, they're not going to be living by the same, what, standards or rules?
Standards, right.
Okay, and so that's a whole...
They only call you.
Yeah,
they only call or look for you when they need something.
Right. That is not what he's talking about. Okay. That's why it's important that we all have the same understanding of the scriptures, because you do have people out there who will try to take advantage of you. You do have people out there that read the scriptures and say, oh, you're a Christian, you're supposed to do this.
They do this. Who they say that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but then you don't see them living a life worth nothing.
Right.
Concerning the Most High. They're not trying to walk in his ways or please him. But they want you to take care of them.
Yeah.
So no. You know, if it's a dire need and the Most High puts it on your heart to help, then you help. But if it's your brother or your sister and you know that they are walking right and you know they are trying to keep the statute laws, not trying to, I'm going to say keeping it because, you know, we use that excuse trying to.
Trying to is just saying
you're gonna fail. Right, and you know how I feel about that. If you say you're trying, then that's an excuse to fail.
Right.
You know, you just do it. Period. You got to be committed to it and do it, or else we're gonna always fall what short.
Short. Yeah.
If we give ourselves a reason to fall short, we will fall short.
Right.
And so if we think that that's acceptable, then, you know, we can't hold anybody else to a higher standard if we're not towing the rope ourselves. That would be being, what, hypocritical?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what we're trying to be. We're trying to live to the word of the Most High. We're trying to live it in spirit and in truth. And, you know, he tells us everything is written in this book as to how he wants us to, what, behave. So when he says, if you got a brother or a sister that is saying they're a brother or a sister, but they're still walking in sin, willful sin, he said, you should know not to eat with that one. Because they're saying one thing out of your mouth and they're doing what? Something else. So their walk is just talk.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it's just so that they can appear to be good in front of people, but then when it actually comes down to it, they're doing something else.
Right.
Okay, so that's not who he's talking about here. Now, you know, and you'll know, because most of the time people won't come and ask you for something if they don't know you. It's not like that beggar that's on the corner.
Right.
You don't know what their circumstances are.
Right.
You don't know how they got there. If they are, you know, panhandling or, you know, just making a hustle, or whether they are truly what, in need.
In it, right.
And, you know, I always say it this way for those, if the Most High puts it on your heart to give to them, then give to them.
Give it, yep.
You know, and don't even think about it. But if you don't put it on your heart, don't do it. He will what, take care of his own?
Yep.
So he'll make sure that somebody, if you are truly in need and you're his, he will make sure if you were in that situation,
somebody
going to give you something.
Something, yeah. Amen.
You know, and it's going to be his doing. But then when we are in community and we're saying that we're brothers and sisters and we are living amongst each other, then we are obligated to take care of each other. So if I have a lack in something, then and you have an abundance in it, then it's your obligation to what, help me.
Help me, right.
Help.
Mm-hmm. You know, and vice versa. So
right,
we,
right.
You know, we will get those verses in another time, but that is how he wants his body to operate. And so if I can look at you and say, well, you know what, I got mine, you get yours. He said, where is the love of Elohim in me?
In that.
Right. Mm-hmm. There ain't no love in me. I can say I love Elohim, but he said, you can't. How are you going to say you love me whom you can't see? And can't show love for the one you can see.
You can see, right.
Okay. So he doesn't play that. So we have to understand that we always have to have, I believe it's in, I'd have to find the scripture, but, you know, Messiah said we're going to always have the poor with us because, number one, we're not going to ever do what he says to do, totally, because he says to open our hands wide to the poor.
Right.
But we always want to be, what, judging them? Why are you poor?
Yeah.
You must have did something wrong. Yada, yada, yada. But we don't ever know. Somebody may be poor just to test you.
Right.
To see if you will give. Okay, so he tells us for the poor in the land that we're to always open our hands wide and see to it and give them more than what they just need.
Right.
To see that they have sufficient to meet, you know, their needs, not just barely enough. And then let's go to Exodus. Any questions or any more questions in that area?
No.
Okay, so did I answer your question sufficiently?
Yes, you did.
All right, amen. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to get verse 8. This is an example of a sin of omission, something we're supposed to do, but then if we don't do it, then we sin. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, and when we have it, say amen.
Amen.
Remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. That's a commandment. And if we don't do it, if we don't remember the Sabbath day, if we don't keep it holy, if we treat it as, you know, every other day, if we treat it as common, then we have what? Sin. Because we failed to follow the commandment. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at. So we understand sins of commission and sins of omission, things that we are supposed to do that we don't, and things we're not to do that we do. Okay, and the Most High, so you could be sinning either way. You ain't supposed to do that. Why are you doing it? You're supposed to do that. Why aren't you doing it? Okay. Let's look at where all sin originates. Where does sin originate? Go to Mark chapter 7. The book of Mark chapter 7. and we're going to get verses 18 through 23. The book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. And when you have it, if you say amen. All right. All right. Thank you. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? So he's asking them a question. Let's see what they ask him. He has just given them what which parable? Go up here. Let's go back to verse. Let's start in verse 1. Okay. Amen. Let's get the context. Let's get the context for this. So we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read down through 23. But we want to make sure that we're understanding what the scriptures are saying. So Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. The scribes are the teachers, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. So they're saying their hands are what dirty, right?
Right.
Okay. Not saying that they're eating anything unclean. The problem is, in this instance, their hands are unwashed, correct?
Correct.
See, people will take these verses and try to twist them. Okay. So he's talking about they're eating and their hands are unwashed and they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, not holding the traditions of who?
The elders.
The elders. So this is a tradition that the elders said you should wash your hands all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they have done is said, if you don't wash your hands all the time, you have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But there is no such commandment. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? How come they not following the traditions, the commandments of the elders? The commandments come from who?
Father.
For the Most High. But men can also add in, right? And if you don't know the difference, you might be following a man telling you're in sin, and you're only in violation of not doing what? Doing what he said. Right. And they'll have you feeling all guilty that you're a sinner when it's only what they have said. That's what this is talking about. Everybody understand?
Yep.
Okay. And he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied unto you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They want to do what they want to do, but they're not following his what commandments. They want to make up their own commandments and hold people to that, but they don't want to follow the Most High's commandments. So you saying that you love me and you're honoring me, but you're only honoring me with your what?
Your lips.
With your lips. It's only coming out your mouth. It ain't in your heart. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of who?
Man.
Do you understand why it's so important to know what the Most High says? I don't care who you are. I always say, you know, whatever I say, you check it in with the scriptures. You check it in with the Most High. I don't want you following me. I'm going to tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim. You follow that. If I go outside of that, then you need to be questioning me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And you can't question me if you don't know what the word says.
Yep.
So you must study to show yourself approved. Following the doctrine or doctrines, the commandments of men. I don't care how good it sounds. You need to know what the word of the Most High says, but you really need to know it. There's a lot of people out here that teach a lot of falsehood. They teach their understanding, but the understanding has to come from the Most High. So if they can show you it in the word, it shouldn't contradict nowhere. You have understanding. For laying aside the commandments of Elohim, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of Elohim, that you may keep your own tradition. So, in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter, I think it's 3. We'll come back to this, okay? Go to Romans chapter 3, I believe. I might have to take you to another one. I believe this is what? No, maybe it's 7. Hold on just a second. Know this by heart. Hey, give me a 1 second. I thought it was right there. It's not. Romans chapter 10. New Romans anyway. Of men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just accused them of going about to a, you know, they keep their own commandments rather than keeping the what? Commandments of the Most High?
Right.
Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish whose righteousness?
Yeah, own righteousness.
And have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is what the problem was in Israel. The problem is still there today. Okay, so we always want to teach the commandments of the Most High. I don't want to hear what Pastor so-and-so said. I don't want to hear what Brother so-and-so said. What does the Word of the Most High say?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go back to where we were at. What we don't want to do is follow the traditions of men and establish what? They're doing it because they want to have some power. They're doing it because they want to look big, but the problem is, you know, they're wanting to exert some control, and they go about to establish rules that the Most High hasn't said anything about. And it sounds good. And if you don't know the word, you might get caught up in doing it. And then when you're not doing it, thinking that you're what? Sinning?
Right.
And in a way you are sinning because you're doing something that you think you're doing something or not doing something that you think you're supposed to be and you're not doing it. Even if it was a commandment of man, you thought it was from God because you weren't studying. The same difference. But you want to know what the Most High says. And that you know that you must do. And when a man steps in and tries to give you tradition or his thoughts, or I think you should do this, you need to know what does the Most High say. Amen?
Amen.
If it's written, you need to know it.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to verse 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of Elohim, you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of Elohim that you may keep your own tradition. So if you're going to make up a tradition, you better make sure you're still doing the commandments of the Most High. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curses father or mother, let him do what?
Die
to death. That's his judgment. Whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death.
No.
But Israel like, I ain't killing my child.
Yes, I will.
They just young. They're just stupid. They're whatever. The Most High says, I have already judged on this thing. If your child curses you, then they're supposed to die by the law. Messiah, did he just say he canceled that?
No.
He's saying, hey, y'all don't follow it. You worship me with your lips. You say you keep my commandments, but your heart is far from me. Because this is what I said to do. But you say, verse 11, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. So you say it is a gift, whatever you receive from me as your child. And that the Pharisees are telling you, you're free from all sin if you say that. Messiah said, that's not what the commandment said. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother. Care of the parent when they're older. This is the way the system was set up. Heck, today, our children have a problem taking care of themselves.
Yeah, you're right.
But the truth of the matter is, if they were walking in the ways of the Most High, then they would be able to, and should be able to, take care of their parents when their parents no longer can work anymore. Mm-hmm. And it not be a burden. Because, you know, a lot of times it's an attitude, the way that some people might do some things. Yeah, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn around, they fussing and fighting and arguing and, you know, complaining that they got to do it. That makes you then not want to be there.
Yeah.
I'm a burden to you, and you're not taking care of me because you love me, or that you're supposed to do it. You're taking care of me you're taking care of me only because the scripture is saying it. But then I show you love as my child when you were younger. Then I support you and your decisions and your business and whatever. So he's saying, hey, the law says if your child curses you, they were supposed to die to death. He said that. Your child curses you, they're supposed to die. Your child won't get up and go to work, they're lazy, they're making, you know, all they want to do is stay at home and be high or drunk and not take care of business, and they're counting on you for everything. He said you're supposed to take them to the elders. This, my child, my son, my daughter, it won't do what they're supposed to do. And what did he tell the elders to do?
Stone them.
Take them to the front gate and stone them. it was a it's a killing offense. Now, I know 99% of us have a problem with that. But he's saying this is the issue with this. He said, this is my judgment. You can't overrule my judgment. So he's saying, by your tradition, you follow your own. You put your traditions over what, the commandments of the Most High?
Yeah.
Verse 12 again. And you suffer him no more to do aught, to do anything for his father or mother, making the word of Elohim of what?
None effect.
It don't mean nothing. Through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do you. So you want to get on us about not washing our hands when your tradition makes you disobey the commandments of the Most High?
Mm-hmm.
And you think you want to judge somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken or listen unto me, every one of you, and understand. But remember, unless he gives the understanding, the masses, it ain't meant for them to understand. There is nothing from without a man that enters into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. Now, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what the church hears when they hear this is, I can eat anything I want to, but it's not what go into me, it's what come out. And that is a complete corruption of the scripture and what he's talking about, what he's trying to teach. Because he's not expecting you to be eating anything, what, unclean?
Unclean, right.
So it don't matter. Okay. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Master, what are you talking about? It don't matter what go into a person. What is his response to them? Verse 18. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive? Can you not see and understand what I'm talking about? That whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart. He's talking about those things that are, what, heart issues, your obedience, you're willing to obey. But into the belly goes out into the drought, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. If you're going to do evil, it starts where?
In the heart.
In the heart. If you're going to commit adultery, it starts where?
In your heart.
In your heart. And when we're talking about heart here, it's talking about what? Evil thoughts is in your what, head, your mind? Not talking about your blood pumping heart, but it's talking about your will. Your will. So you got to have it in you. You have already have to have the thought to commit adultery. To commit adultery. You got to already have the thought to what? Fornicate?
Right.
And you got to have the desire to. Murder. Theft. In other words, it's got to be inside of you. You have to have the will to want to do this. It's got to be in your mind, and you have thought it and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I might feel bad about it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Covetousness. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So if you got any of these things in you, he said these are what? Evil things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can let an evil thought take over. Somebody can wrong you and you get a what? Evil thought? You know what? I feel like killing them. So these things come from the heart. Just like you can't be tempted by something that is what? Not in you. If it ain't in you, if you ain't got no addiction to alcohol or to some drug or anything like that, you can't be tempted with it. If it's not in you to want to do it, you can't be tempted with it. That's how you know when somebody's through with something. I don't care whether it was cigarettes, alcohol, weed, heroin, crack, it doesn't matter. When you're done with it, it ain't in you no more. You can't be tempted with it. Because you're done with it. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, so we read down through 23. So these things, sin originates where? In the person's heart?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be in them. And the only way to get rid of it is to put it out of your heart, out of your mind, to reprogram yourself, to commit to yourself, I'm not going to do these things. That used to be me. It's no longer me, and you have to be what? Committed to it.
Yeah.
If you say it ain't me and you still got a desire to do it, it's still you. So, you know, I use the example when I used to smoke. You know, and I'd be saying, you know, I'm going to quit smoking. And I would ball up that pack of cigarettes. And 15 minutes later, I'm going trying to unball it and fix me one to smoke it. Because I wasn't through with it. I was playing around. I wasn't committed to it. I wanted to quit, but I wasn't really committed to doing it. Because as soon as that urge came to want a cigarette, I knew where they were at. I just balled up the pack not too long ago. Go get that pack, unwrinkle it, pull out that cigarette, wherever it's cracked at, break it off and fix it back up. And then I had to make a promise to the Most High. I'm done with this. I make a promise to you, I'll never do it. You let me go 3 days, I'll never do it. And I don't want to break a promise to him. And I know that I truly feared him more than I love myself. Because if it was out of love for me, I'd have been quit. But because I feared him and I didn't want to break the promise to him, I made the promise to him because I did not want to go back to it. What are at least 13 things that proceed from the human heart? And we just read them, and I'm just going to read them back off to you. We're in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Messiah said these things come from the heart. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Those 13 things proceed from your what? Heart.
All right.
If you do them, you can't say the devil made me do it. That was in your heart to do that. And you might have been telling yourself, no, that's not me. Or I was tempted. You can't be tempted unless it was what? In you?
Right.
So it's a lot of excuse making.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that this is what? In us if we do this. List two very important facts about the human heart. go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 9. The book of Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 9. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Jeremiah chapter 7. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? No, I'm in the wrong place. Did I say 7 or 17?
Yeah.
My bad.
Seven.
My bad. Jeremiah chapter 17.
That one.
It's a good verse, but it's not actually answering the question.
And that also.
Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you, because I said the wrong verse, and even went to myself. The heart is deceitful above what?
All things.
And desperately what?
Wicked.
Who can know it?
Who can know it?
You got all these people talking about they got a what, good heart?
Yep.
What does he say the heart is?
Deceitful.
And wicked.
Above all things. 10. I search the heart. I try to reign, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now, this is where I say in Torah, the law said you had to have two or three witnesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you could accuse somebody of something, before they could be brought to trial on something. So if you walked in on somebody doing something and you were the only witness, you couldn't even bring a charge. Just one person could make the accusation. But in the New Testament, just like it says here, I search the heart, I try to reign. He says in the New Testament, I'm going to judge you by your what? Heart? I don't need two or three witnesses anymore. I always search your heart out before. And I judge you according to your ways and according to the fruits of your doing. Fired up on the Torah for two or three witnesses to put you to death. Now I don't need a witness. I'm just going to look into your heart. Which one of us can hide what's really deep down inside of us?
No, none of us.
Can't hide it. You can't lie about it.
Can't talk yourself out of it.
You know, and speaking of that, I remember when I was seeking the Most High out, and I had this thought. This thought came to my mind. If I went before the Most High right now, if I went before him right now, in the condition I'm in, what could I say to him to get out of trouble? I couldn't lie. How could I defend myself? And there would be nothing I could say. I'm guilty. And I'm at your what? Mercy? Because if you lie, you're just going to make it worse. That's an automatic trip to the what lake? All liars go to the lake. So you lied to him trying to what? Get out of trouble?
Right.
You lying? No, I'm not. And then all of a sudden your thoughts just pop up like a picture in front of everybody. This is what you're thinking about. I'm going to expose it to everybody. My judgment is righteous. See what he's thinking? See what he was trying to hide and then lied about it? Go to the lake. So he says, I search the heart. I try your reign to see what you will and will not do. Even to give every man according to his ways. You can't hide what's in your heart. If it's in your heart to be deceitful, you're going to be deceitful. Can't even tell the truth because your heart is what? Deceitful? I wanted to tell the truth, but I just couldn't. So the Most High says he does that. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When people say, you know, I'm a good person, I got a good heart, I'm like, okay, in your own eyes. But you hear it all the time. You can't judge me.
Yeah.
I said, you are good in your own eyes. But all that wicked stuff you be thinking about that don't nobody else know, that you be hiding, Most High knows. And he created us. He says, this is y'all problem. Who can claim complete knowledge of the human heart? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. He's the only one that can tell what? What's in your heart?
What you think?
What you're thinking, what's in your mind, what you will do and what you won't do. You can fool Brother Miles, but you can't fool him.
And then people don't see. So
people don't do what, my sister?
They don't see it.
Oh.
I have to say, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they don't fear him, then you know they are unwise. Yeah, they're just unwise. They are stupid.
Amen.
Straight up, just stupid. You're not going to fear somebody that can not only kill your body, but can actually destroy something that's eternal. That's not supposed to be able to die. And he has the power to destroy your spirit, you, the individual. He says, if you don't fear me, something wrong. So let me check and see. Are they retarded? Is their brain not working correctly? Is there a flaw in their brain?
Right.
Let me see, did something evil spirit creep in there? Because there's something wrong here if you don't fear me. You must not know. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're just ignorant and you just don't know.
All of the above.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times it's the latter. People just don't know. Because once you're told, then you're what, accountable?
Yeah.
And how do people read the scriptures? What I can't understand is how people read the scriptures and they read, you know, the Psalms or the Proverbs and says the fear of Elohim is the beginning of all wisdom. And they still don't understand that they're supposed to fear him.
Right.
Now, he's my friend. Now you better let him call you. You better let him say he's your friend. If he don't tell you that, I wouldn't assume that. You better let him tell you that you're his child.
Yeah.
I wouldn't assume that.
You're right.
Because you could be claiming that you're a child. He says, hey, I ain't chastising you. You're doing all that wickedness, and I'm not chastising you, so you don't belong to me.
Right.
Because I chastise mine when they mess up.
Oh, yeah.
I correct them. And if you messing up and you're not being corrected, he said, you ain't mine. You a bastard. Huh. You claiming to be mine, but you're not mine. You belong to the other fellow over there. The one that's been lying from the beginning. What do we do to ourselves? when we say we have no sin. I don't think I've met anybody that stupid in a minute.
I don't think so either, but they might have them out here, Brother
Miles. Oh, they're probably out there. I just ain't been running in those circles and haven't, you know, talked to them in a while.
But I personally don't understand how everybody knows that the Father probably is red and sweet, right? But that's the only thing they really hawk on. Now, if you know somebody that can pause all that water out there, if you ain't scared of that, hey.
Yeah, because they don't think he's going to do anything to them. He's that all loving, all merciful, all kind Elohim, all, you know, God. It don't matter what I do. He said he would forgive me because I'm human. Don't you know he made you and know you're human? And he still said what? Be thou perfect. For I am perfect. He didn't say try to be perfect. He didn't say try to be holy. He said, be thou perfect. Be thou holy, for I am holy. I am perfect. He didn't say try. That's why I said the only way we're going to be able to do this thing is you do it with your whole heart. You have got to be working at this thing. Working to do it and not working to what? Not do it?
Not do it, right.
And most of us would be working trying not to do it. After excuse. Most High doesn't play excuse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, when we have it, say amen. The book of 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 8. What do we do to ourselves when we say we have no sin? Amen. You there?
Amen, yes.
All right, amen. If we say we have no sin, who do we deceive?
Ourselves.
And the truth is not in us. So, somebody can say, hey, I don't sin. I don't have no sin. We know that they're only fooling them what?
Themselves.
What do we do to Yah when we say we have no sin? So we deceive ourselves. What are we doing to Yah when we say that? If we say that?
Lying. Some a lie.
We're calling him a liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not just lying, but we're calling him a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. When you have it, say amen. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of the Most High.
Yes.
So we know that this person is just a flat-out liar, or they just don't know. Maybe they grew up in Hindu or something else. Okay. Two grave consequences of sin. There are two grave consequences of sin. Depravity and guilt. So we're going to talk about depravity now. D-E-P-R-A-V-I-T-Y.
Say that over again, please.
D-E.
Uh-huh.
P as in Paul.
Uh-huh.
R as in Romeo.
Uh-huh.
Alpha. Victor.
Uh-huh.
India. Tango. Uh-huh. Yankee.
Uh-huh.
D-E-P-R-A-V-I-T-Y. Depravity. Depravity is the corrupt nature of man, which inevitably leads them into sin. So let's look at what Paul says about this depravity. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 7. That's why people be trying to say, I'm just human. It's just our nature. But the Most High says we got to overcome our what? Nature?
Yeah.
We can't use our nature as an excuse to stay where we're at. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 14. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right, everybody's there. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. So he's saying, hey, for that which I do, I allow not. I want to do good, but I end up doing what? Evil.
Yeah.
And I don't allow for the evil that I do. But that what I do, that I would do, I want to do good, I do not, right?
Yeah.
But what I hate, that I do. So I'm hating to sin, but that's what I'm ending up what?
Doing.
This is a battle with the flesh. Let's continue. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is what?
Good.
The law is given to us to show us what is right and wrong, right? And if the law shows me that I'm in sin because I'm doing that which I should not do, then the law is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. The sin that dwelleth in me. My heart wants to do good, but really, in my heart of hearts, who I really am, this sin nature has gotten written into my what? Spirit. And I can know that what I'm doing is wrong and still end up what? Doing it. I know it's wrong and I still end up doing it. Remember when I described to you that your spirit is like a hard drive?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. What gets written into your spirit, that's what you become.
Right.
And so if you allow wicked things to get written into your spirit, you can know in your mind what is right, but in your spirit, because your spirit is corrupted, you do corrupt. And be wondering why you're doing it. Why can't I change this? Why can't I stop? I know that this is wrong, but every time I end up doing what? Wrong. And I feel bad about it. That's why he says we must be born again. We need what? Our hard drive erased and reformatted?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be reprogrammed. New programming installed. Because the old programming is corrupt. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth all good things. Y'all gonna actually let me get away with that?
What?
You know I'm subject to say something I ain't supposed to just to see if y'all listening. I know, because if y'all let that go, something wrong. Verse 18 again. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth, I said, all good things. What does it
all
say?
No good things.
No good things.
Oh, I didn't
say that. Amen. I want you to be paying attention because I will throw a curve in there. Because then y'all be saying, well, Brother Miles, you said, I'll be like, what did we read?
Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
I may be trying to make some more excuses, but it's saying, did you hear what it said? There's no good thing in us. So you're saying that we have to reprogram that? Okay, if I could do that myself, why would I need Christ then?
Because, number one, you need Christ to get out of sin, to start over. That's why I said when I was explaining to you earlier, when you come to Messiah, the gift that the Most High gave you and the grace that he gave you was your nature is not good, and you are a sinner. And so I need a mechanism because my law has already been written, and my judgment has already been written. So by my law and my judgment, you already deserve what? Death.
Yeah.
Okay. So I came as a man and said that I would be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and shed my blood because I require blood. I require life. You cross me, I require life. So I came and was a sacrifice for you, and I died in your place. Now that I've given you a clean slate, then you have to make a conscious decision that you know right from wrong that you're going to do right. You got to fight that nature within you to do wrong.
But I can't do that by myself. So is that why we fellowship, like put up blockers? You know, still fellowship is good and the word, but I'm saying we need to do other things to, you know.
You need the Spirit of the Most High. That's why, do you remember he said you must be born of the water and what?
Spirit.
Of his Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. That's why, you know, I preach this over and over and over again. You got to be filled with the Ruach. It is a must. Without the Ruach HaKodesh, none of his. You have no power.
Now, how did you say get that again?
You got to ask him for it, but you got to be sincere in your heart. You got to be done with what you're supposed to be done with. You can't come to him and say, you know, I want to be saved, but you still want to sin. You have a part that you have to do yourself, that you have to say, I am done with this. I realize that this is wrong, and I'm done with it. I'm not doing this anymore. Okay. If I know it's wrong, I'm not doing it. And there might still be some stuff in you that you got to struggle with, that you got to fight with, that you got to over what? Come?
Yeah.
Still got to be committed. Hey, no matter how much I'm tempted with this, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I'm not gonna break his commandment. I'm not going to sin. I don't care how much that itch want to be scratched. I don't care how fine brother whoever is. We ain't in the relationship we supposed to be in. That ain't happening.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So you got to be committed to it, and you got to be at That's not happening. You had a problem stealing, and if it don't belong to me, what? I ain't taking it. And if the thought come up, I'm going to use his name the way in the English, you Jesus help me. Father help me.
So do you think those programs are good, AA and the different, you know, Overeaters Anonymous, things like that? Do you think
I do think that help to a degree. They'll help you with the mental aspect of it. But then you got to understand that there's also a spiritual component to it. So you can see, when you're trying to be right in and of yourself, then you can say, just like you said, if I could do it myself, what do I need Jesus for? But you got to realize that you need him. That's why he says you must be born again. And that's not just reading the word. That's not just understanding the scripture. It's a matter of really you're submitting yourself to him.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting yourself. Usually this is easier for women than it is for men. Because women are taught that they're supposed to do what? Submit.
Submit.
And then they get westernized and they're supposed to be independent and all this stuff.
Well, see, when I was growing up, and that's what I had another conversation with someone else, which my daughter is doing now, you know, grow up, go to college, get an education. Marriage is not on the table anymore. That's why we're lacking so many families. And that's the way my daughter, you know, I went to school. So it wasn't grow up, get married, and have a family. You know, it wasn't none of that. Like my daughter's doing that now. You don't need no man, which I disagree. But she and her girlfriends are dead set on that. And that's the way they're raising my grandchildren.
But that's a spirit,
you know,
and that's the spirit of this land.
Go to college, get a good job, you know, and take care of yourself.
That's a spirit of this land.
True.
Okay, and it's anti, and it's actually anti what?
That's right.
It's anti Christ, really. There's nothing wrong with a woman having an education and a woman having a good job and being able to take care of herself. But then when it comes to the problem is a lot of the times the woman will have her own and then say, I don't need a man, but she's still sleeping with one.
Hmm.
Or either have the baby and get rid of him.
Right. Well, you know, when I say these things, a lot of times women get mad, but they just have to get mad, okay? Because truth is truth, okay? And if I don't tell you, then I don't want no blood on my hands. But the truth of the matter is, we are a nation of fornicators and adulterers. We're running around getting into relationships and saying, "Oh, we're committed," but we're not committed. Because as soon as we don't want to be together, we just walk away.
Right.
And the Most High says, uh-uh. So you can't, you know, get a man, sleep with him, have a child, and because you don't believe that you need a man, I can take care of this child myself, that you're okay with the Most High. But you're not. Because in that case, especially if you just walked away because I don't need a man, but you had sex, and see, we don't believe in this country.
Is now in the conference.
Yeah, we don't believe.
We don't believe
in this country.
In this country that
we're not supposed to be having sex outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage. That's right.
And let's see.
I got an echo.
Somebody pop.
Somebody
hold on just a second.
Hold on just a second.
All right, let me mute this.
Let me mute this.
All right, that should
all
be
right.
better.
Should be better.
Still a little slight echo. Sister LaGrace, if you have anything, then just text me and I'll raise your mic back up. Okay. So the truth of the matter is, The standard that the Most High gives us is not the same standard that's in this country. And so we will teach the young ladies it's okay to have what, sex outside of marriage?
No.
We'll teach them that as long as you don't get pregnant, who gonna know? We'll teach them that if a woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, you know, that's a common thing today.
Yes.
And it's not, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's outside the standards of the Most High. What does the Most High say about it? The Most High says if a woman sleeps with a man one time that she's not married to, she has played what?
The harlot.
And somebody, I heard the word whore. It's the same thing. That's his standard. And then we want to say, well, oh, he's got to what? Forgive me? What does he say? What does he say about willful sin?
Unforgivable.
There ain't no blood for that.
None.
So you don't jump in. If we were in our nation and that happens, then both the man and the woman would be killed. So when we are trying to come back to the Most High and we're trying to get right with him, we might have to what? Unlearn some things?
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, when I was in the church and the mothers were talking about, you know, I wouldn't marry a man I hadn't slept with first. I said, mother, you teaching the daughters that? I said, what if she sleeps with that man and then he don't, and then he don't marry her? Now you have just created a what, harlot?
Harlot, yep.
And then she's trying to come and be right with the Most High, but she can't say that she didn't do that, what, intentionally? So this is a re-education. That's why he said you must be what, converted. Because a lot of times people are getting into the relationship for sex sake. I like that.
Well, it says
and then,
it's better to marry than to burn.
Huh?
It says it's better to marry than to burn.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with marrying. The problem is they're not marrying. That's the problem. There ain't nothing wrong with sex. Said that. He said, but I don't want you doing it outside of what?
Outside of marriage.
If you are, then if you, I'm going to tell you what he says, okay? Now, y'all can take it. I don't want y'all taking this the wrong way. But no, I ain't going to even say that. I'm not even going to say that. Cause somebody, no, I'm not, because somebody will be doing it. You said, no. The whole goal is that you are in a relationship where this is your spouse. And you are in that relationship that way. And so in your heart and in your mind, this is your spouse. You ain't, for a woman, you ain't supposed to be with nobody else. Until what?
Till death.
Till death. Oh, no. If he can have somebody else, how come I can't? You better talk to the Most High about that.
Because
if you decide to leave, what does the scripture say? You're not free to remarry.
Nope.
As long as he's alive, you're not free to remarry. That's the Most High standard. Is that the standard of this country?
No, it's not.
Is that the standard of our people?
No,
no,
it's
not.
But then we want to say that we follow the Most High. We love the Most High. He says, like hell, you love me. You don't do what I say. How are you going to say you love me and don't do what I say?
Hmm.
But what'd you say? That's what a lot of them be saying. What'd you say? I said, don't be sleeping around. I said that if you take a man to be your husband, woman, you submit yourself to him. I didn't tell him to rule over you. I told you to submit over him and he would rule over you. That means that you got to submit yourself. Because if he thinks he's supposed to rule over you, he might think he's authorized to beat you into submission. Because I got the authority to bring you, to have dominion over you. That's why he told the woman to submit herself. And unto the woman, he said. He never said that to the man. So when you come into that relationship, it should be automatically understood I'm taking this man as my husband, and I'm going to what? Submit myself to him. And even when he's wrong, he's got the right to be wrong. Because ultimately the responsibility is on him if things don't go right. So he's supposed to also, what, make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Find out what your needs are?
Yeah.
And not put you in a place where you become, what, rebellious? Because we can get just like children. I ain't happy. I ain't doing what you want me to do. I'm going to rebel. I ain't going to clean the house. I ain't going to cook. I ain't going to do those things that I'm supposed to do for you. So we have gotten a very westernized view of what a relationship is. Most High said when a man and a woman, once he accepts the marriage proposal, they are married. They are in our eyes, we say what, engaged?
Engaged, yeah.
He said, no, you're married. And if you go and sleep with somebody else, you just committed what? Adultery. You went and had sex outside the marriage. Well, we engaged. I just wanted that last fling before, you know, we really tied the knot. No, when you said, yes, I will marry you, the Most High said, you just tied the knot. It's having what? You're still supposed to wait until your marriage night?
Yeah.
So, you know, that spirit that we have on us in this country, and I just say it, the spirit of whoredom, because we, you know, when you got 98% of your children, that's the last time I checked, 98% of your children being born out of wedlock, that's a whole lot of sex out of what, marriage?
Yeah.
And it's the norm. I don't need a man. I make good money. I can take care of myself. I got a home, I got a ride, I can pay these bills, and I can raise these children. And I'm gonna be truthful with y'all, a lot of y'all won't even let the man be a man. Because you won't submit to him. I got this. I make just as much money, I make the money here. So how you going to tell me what to do? How you going to want me to be in submission to you when I'm the one paying the bill?
Yes.
When you married him, if you knew he couldn't support that way, you made that decision. Now still submit yourself. Because if you don't, you're not disobeying the man, you're disobeying the Most High. The Most High told the woman to what? Submit herself. The Most High said, and he shall rule over you. So you should have that understanding when you enter into it. So is it important that who you submit yourself to?
Yes, it is.
Because a lot of times, you know, we get into these relationships and just feel like, well, if I'm not happy, I can just do what?
Leave.
I can just leave. I can just get out of it. And then think that we can just find somebody else. That's not the word of the Most High. And see, when I teach this stuff to people, then they get mad at me. I didn't write this.
I don't know why. It's wrote.
Because they don't want to hear the truth.
Oh.
So because I don't want to hear the truth, I'm going to beat up the messenger.
Well, they're in the wrong place.
Yeah, well, they would be in the wrong place, but I'm going to tell them.
That's what I'm saying.
Male or female, just like I tell the man, anything go wrong, it's really your fault. You're the head. The buck stops with you.
Hmm.
And so you need to know. So there's a whole different, you know, thing, a whole different sermon that I do for men than I do for women. But, you know, there's more women that try to follow the Most High. But the bottom line is we are so far out of line with the Most High that when we come and try to say that we're doing right, we have been doing wrong for so long, we don't even know how to do right.
Say it, brother.
And then if somebody tell us we're doing wrong or tell us that we can't do that, then they're like, well, you're taking away my hope. I'm not taking away anything. I'm telling you what it is. I didn't live your life for you. I didn't make the decisions for you. You made those decisions yourself, whether you made them in ignorance or whether you knew and you decided to do it anyway. The bottom line is once you're in that position, you're in that position. And then you have to repent and live your life, what, accordingly? So if that means you can't remarry again, you can't remarry. Now, of course, you can go and do whatever you want to do because you're the one that's got to stand in front of him. And when he says, why did you do X? Brother Miles, unless you up under me, because if you up under me, I'm going to say most I told him. Don't even look over here. I told them, and they did it anyway. Because I don't want him coming back to me talking about, I told you to tell them, and you didn't.
Right.
So now you're in disobedience. You go get your butt in the lake. If I go to the lake, I don't want it to be for something you did. I want it to be for something I did.
Amen.
So we got to understand that, you know, if you're having a hard time with sin, then it's because that, I'm going to be truthful with you, it's because you either do not know the truth or you have not committed that you're not going to sin. Because once you make that commitment, it becomes easier not to do it. But when you ain't made that commitment, you're like, be trying to find ways to do it. Be trying to find a
commitment.
Say that again, my sister.
And when you make the commitment, it's even more understanding.
Right, because you understand the ramifications. That's why he says we have to, what, count the cost? When we don't count the cost, when we don't consider what the penalty is, and it's going to cost me this, I want to make it into the kingdom. And you know, I was a virgin when I got married, and then we got divorced. Or he was offensive, and he did this, and he did that, and I walked away. You got to understand what you can do and what you can't do when you do that in the eyes of the Most High. Because you may not be able to, you know, he didn't treat me right, so I'm walking away. It may not be within your purview to be able to, what, remarry?
Right.
To be with somebody else because you were supposed to have made that decision and did that. You're supposed to be committed to this thing to death. Now, up under Torah, that's what I tell people. They say, hey, we want to be up under the New Testament. We don't want to follow the law. Under Torah, the woman could divorce and what?
Remarry.
And remarry. Messiah came and changed that. So when the church says we ain't under the law, I'm like, what law you ain't under? He made it harder. He made it harder. Under the law, a woman could divorce and get remarried. Messiah says the only reason why the Most High ever allowed divorce was because of the hardness of what? The men's heart?
Right.
So he allowed it, but it was never intended to be that way. The Most High never intended for a woman to be with more than one man. So I've had conversations where the woman say, that ain't fair. So, hey, you got to take that conversation up with the Most High. Because, again, I didn't write this. It's not Brother Miles' rules, and it's not Brother Miles' interpretation. Because that's what a lot of people want to feel like, oh, you just give me your interpretation. I said, you read it for yourself, black and white. And if you walk away with a different understanding, then that's what you got to go before him with. And if it's a lie, what did he say? I show you guys, he says, you can believe a lie and be what?
Damn.
And be damned. You chose to believe the lie. So, you know, my job is to tell you and to show you. Because we have to bring up a righteous generation. We have to come out of sin. We have to do it the way that he says to do it. So if you are, you know, once you start having sex, we get used to having sex. And the body still has what needs? It has wants. And then you find yourself with nobody to do it with, and you're like, well, I'm going to find a way. Then you got to make that decision. Do you love the lake more than you love life? Do you love the lake more than you love sex? Because that's the decision that you're making. And then these brothers are telling the women, oh, we can just make a contract and we can get out of the contract whenever we want to. If we're not happy, we just get out of the contract. Where does it say that in the scripture?
Right.
Okay. It don't say that nowhere in the scripture.
In my book. In my book.
Oh, yeah, I make a contract with you. I'll be your wife for whatever. And then if we're not happy, then we just basically then what, divorce? So we're going to go by the word of the Most High. And that's all I can teach you is what is written. And each person has to make up their what? Own mind. Because I can't put you in heaven or hell. I don't have one to put you in. But there is one that does. And I'm gonna go by what he said. And my job is to tell you what he said. And if you don't think it's fair, your argument is not with me. Your fight and your argument is with him. Amen? So if you're struggling with it, the way you get over it, you must be convicted and you must be convinced that I have to stop this, or else I'm in transgression, I'm in sin with the Most High, and he says, if I die in this condition, because if I know that it's wrong and I do it, then I have been willfully been what, disobedient?
Willfully.
That's how he looks at it.
You know something, Brother Miles?
Yes, ma'am.
I think they better make their mind up in a hurry, because the whole globe is on fire. It's burning up in Spain. It's 104 in London, and it has not ever been 100 and nothing in London. The highest they get is what? Maybe 80-something degrees.
Right. And what's happening is, yeah, what's happening is, as I said, we're going to see a lot of things, okay? Pretty, you know, the oceans are already dying.
That's right.
And when
that river that they said that dried up, Colorado River.
Oh yeah, well they dammed that up until it dried up. They are trying to hold all the water further north. The Colorado River used to go all the way to the Gulf of Cortez between California and Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, I think, heck, 10 or 15 years ago, it was falling 90 miles short. It's probably way shorter than that now. So, but the earth is coming up under with global warming, because they don't want to believe global warming. They just believe that they can continue to do what they're doing. And we just believe that we can continue living like we're living.
It ain't gonna happen.
But we are actually, what, hurting the earth? And the earth is going to rebel, but it's going to be rebelling at the commandment of the Most High, because he's bringing judgment.
I really honestly believe that's what it's doing now. It
is. Yeah, you know, I've said this before, we are in judgment right now.
Okay.
Okay, and so, you know, while we are able to repent, while we are able to get it right, we have to get it right. And we have to understand that, hey, he don't play. It's us that plays. It's us that makes excuses. But he has said, my word will not return void. So, you know, we got to understand that we got to do it like he says do it, and we got to be right with him. So if you're struggling with sin, then the struggle is because you haven't committed within yourself that I'm not going to sin. And it's a commitment you have to make within yourself. Now, he will help you after that, but you got to make the commitment because it he wants to know that you love him. I love you, but, you know, that's like, imagine you're in a relationship and you tell your man, I love you, but as soon as you walk out the door, you're in the bed with another man.
You don't really love him.
You don't really love him. I love what you do for me, but you know what? I love this man, too. The Most High says he don't play that. So he's given us grace to come to him. And as I said, it's not that grace where you can just keep sinning and he just keeps forgiving. That is not the way it works. That's what the church is teaching, but that is not the way it works. Anything that we know that we're doing is wrong, he says, you know it's wrong and you're doing it. You just being willfully, what, disobedient?
Mm-hmm.
And expect me to say, I forgive you, because there ain't no blood for that. I ain't forgiving you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you knew. It's different when your child does something wrong and they did it ignorantly than when they just willfully disobeyed you. We even treat our children different when they do that. We'll treat anybody different when they do that. You knew I didn't like that and you did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't disrespect me like that. But when it's the Most High, we expect that he's got to forgive us. And he don't. And he says he don't. But somehow we get taught that he does. All I got to do is say I'm sorry. No, if you was really sorry, you would have never done it. So you're not really sorry. You just sorry you got caught. You don't want to go to the lake, so you're sorry because you want me to have some mercy. But he said, what did he tell us in Torah? If somebody does a sin that is worthy of death, he said to kill them without what? Without mercy. Without mercy. Now, I think I'll do a lesson on this, but I'm going to show you where he says he's going to kill those, everybody who's his adversary, without mercy. What he tells us to do, he doesn't do it differently. So he says he's gonna kill all his adversaries without mercy. He tells us when somebody breaks the law, we're supposed to punish them without mercy. Don't hesitate, as you said, and what? Don't feel sorry for them. That's what he's going to do. So when he says, you know, I'm extending this grace to you, I'm allowing you to come back to me and have a chance to do it right, then we need to make sure we do it right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and people don't like that method, but it ain't up to me to make people like it. One pastor told me, well, you're taking away my hope. I said, I'm not taking away nothing. If you intended on keep doing what you're doing, you have no hope.
Come on, man.
You just think you got hope. And you're not serving the God of this Bible. You're serving the God of your mind. Because you just read it. But you want to be angry with me. It's not my word. So we want to understand sin. We want to understand that our nature, the nature of this flesh, is to be contrary to the Most High. That means that you gotta take control of your what? Flesh?
Yeah.
And when your flesh want to get out of line, you got to bring it back up under what? Control?
Yeah.
You got to, yeah, are you going to struggle? You're going to struggle with things that are in you. And is it your nature? Yeah, because you got to be converted. You got to get that old man. That's what being born again is all about. Being able to control this natural man. You know, those feelings are natural. It's a, you know, want love, want affection, to want to be sexually satisfied, especially once you have started. But even before you ever start, your body is already what? When you were younger, your body would start having those desires. And then once you did it, then it's like, okay, this I like this. If we start doing things to become better at certain acts, and some of us became vain and puffed up, I'm good at what? This. Because that's the way the world is. The world teaches us that. The world teaches us to be that way, but that's not the way of the Most High. You ain't gonna never find it nowhere in the scriptures to brag about how good you are at giving head.
Hmm.
Ain't gonna find that. But do we have people that brag about it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just being real here. Because that is the nature of this world, and that's the nature of being carnal. But that is not the way of the Most High. Okay, so we will start out on guilt. We talked about depravity. That's just a man's nature to what? Be sinful? And you got to overcome depravity. You got to know when you would do right, you probably won't do right. But you got to fight it. And you got to know, once you really know what the ramification is, that should help you fight it even better. No, I don't want to go to the lake. No, I don't want to offend the Most High. I don't want to be out of relationship with Him.
Oh, that's fair.
So it should change your what, perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that way. I don't want to go down that way just for that. So we got to know this and understand it. We'll talk about guilt on next week. Talk about depravity. We'll talk about guilt, self-condemnation. Because, you know, one of the hardest things to do is to what? Forgive yourself?
Yes.
That's one of the hardest things to do. You know, when we know that we wasn't living all or nothing, and we did all these things, and we look at how terrible it was, and how could I do that? And the thing is, if Messiah forgave you, then you ought to be able to forgive yourself. Okay? If you can forgive other people, then you ought to be able to what? Forgive yourself? But the problem is, you know, and I'll just say this and we'll pray out. The problem is this. We will get into things and we will become self-condemning, but we were never really taught the right way to do things. So if you grew up in an environment where it's okay to sleep around, then that's what you're going to do, because it was what? Okay, according to your understanding. And then you might even learn to what? Like it, love it. You know, I know women that got notches on their belt, and it's like in excess of 100 men. Mm-hmm. About one, no, they were on a mission. I said, you know, it's different for a woman than it is for a man. I said, because there's not too many women out there that can't find some man to sleep with them. But every man can't say that. So you could be whatever. There's a different stroke for what, different folks? Everybody don't like skinny women. Everybody don't like small women. Everybody don't like fat women. It's due to what, individual choice? And so you can't say, well, you know, no man don't like me because I'm this. Some man out there going to like that. You just ain't found it. Okay, so there's always that. But I don't know any woman that couldn't get some man to sleep with her if she was saying that she wanted to sleep around with somebody. Even if he thought he had to do it late at night when nobody would know. Tip on by there. It's like 1:30 in the morning. Ain't nobody up. I'll be out of here before anybody know I was here. So we got men that think that way. But we also got women that think that way. I remember years ago, probably 25 years ago, this young lady, I used to do computers. And this young lady used to, I would talk to her. And we were talking. I said, you know what? You got a mannish spirit. She laughed. What you mean? I said, you got a spirit like a man. You out here hunting men like men hunt women. I said, but how many men do you think that you really have to fight that hard with to sleep with you? You may not be able to get everyone that you want, but if you wanted to sleep with somebody, you could say, I said, so all those notches you're putting on your belt, what are they really proving? That you can get hit? So that's why I tried to explain it to my daughter. I said, hey, sex is like archery. I said, the archer might need practice in the target, but the target don't need no practice getting hit. And if you know, we got, like I said, we got this mentality where the women are after sex just as much as the men. And that has always been, but it's even more so these days. And they will initiate. And it don't matter whether you're married or not. But then we want to come to the Most High and find out that that's not his standard. And now we got problems. Now we don't want to be what, labeled? And if somebody labeled, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. The book is judging you. The word of the Most High is judging you. You need to be honest with yourself. In the eyes of the Most High, this is what you are. And you need to repent and turn away from it. For what? Give you. So we will go into guilt, as I said, on next week. And we will look at that from the standpoint of the scriptures and what we're supposed to do about guilt. We're supposed to get a clean conscience. But what, you know, if I give you a clean conscience and then you turn around and go do something else. The Most High says, it's all right if you did something else and you didn't know it was wrong. You can come to me and repent. And I'll forgive you and everything's good. But it ain't the same way if you know it's wrong. So we got to, you know, we're going to look at this guilt thing. And if you're feeling guilty, you know, like I said, I can't use anybody but myself as an example. There were some things I knew that I wasn't supposed to do that I did after I came to Messiah. Because they told me all I got to do is do what? Say I'm sorry. And he is true and just to forgive me. Only to find out that that was a lie. So, you know, we gotta be serious about this thing. Can't keep using it, you know, using our flesh as a excuse to stay in sin. Or we're gonna end up where we don't wanna end up at, in the lake. Just plain and simple. That's where we're gonna end up at. So let's bow our heads. Any other questions before we pray out?
I have no questions.
Comment.
No questions. The truth.
All right, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for allowing us to see and understand that there are sins of omission and sins of commission, things that we are supposed to do that we don't do, that you tell us to do, and things you tell us not to do that we do. And Father, we pray that you would help us, that you would give us understanding, that we would recognize sin for what it is, that it comes from our heart. We do those things and we are tempted by those things, Father, that we have allowed to stay in our heart, that we want to do. Whether it's because we just love doing it or somebody, we feel somebody requires it. But Father, we want to be right with you. We want to be correct in your eyesight. We want to walk according to your word. Father, we know that we have an innate, depraved spirit, that this body loves what this body loves. This body was made to eat and drink and to procreate. Until the day that you take the desire or the ability away from us. And Father, we fight that nature always. And this is what you said that we have to bring into subjection. Father, if there's anybody that is stuck on porn, whether it be male or female, Father, convict them in their heart even right now that feeding the natural man, and whichever man that they feed most, that's going to be the one that's the strongest. So if they have a desire for porn, Father, take it from them, even right now. Father, if they have a desire to be seen and to have that type of attention, because it makes them feel good that somebody wants them, but that also brings attention that they may or may not want. Father, help them to know that they are sufficient within themselves. And that they don't need the approval of anyone else. Father, whatever it is, whatever may be the motivation, you have set up what you call our right relationship. And you have said how we should enter into them and how we should be committed to them and that we should not do it in such a way that we are just fornicating. Anyone that needs forgiveness in that area, Father, as they repent even right now, forgive them, Father. Let them turn from their way. If it be any sin, whether it is covetousness, whether it is idolatry, whether they have been worshiping another god and not know it, whether they have not been faithful to their mother or their father, whether they have not been keeping Sabbath, Father, you know everybody's sins and what's in their heart. According to their hearts, Father, forgive them even now. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On next week, we will start off with guilt. Somebody write that down in case I forget. We will talk about guilt and, you know, man's self-condemnation for his sin because of what he's done with the Most High. And the Most High wants us to come to him and be able to clear that guilt. But he don't allow you to clear guilt for willful sin. And so, only thing I'm going to say to each and every person here, if you have any willful sin that's in your life, things you know that you are doing wrong, then you need to repent before the Most High and then pray that he says what? Does not he does what did David say? Pray that he does not impute your sin against you because you you are truly repentant. So we want to talk about this on next week. And we haven't even gotten into his salvation, but we will be talking about guilt, and we'll be looking at different things that different people have done in the scriptures out of guilt. Looking at the story. Was it, you know, so-and-so do to cover their guilt? Because when we're guilty of something, then, you know, we want to usually point fingers. And then we also want to look at the importance of, like the sister said, why did Christ, I could do it on my own. But we need to understand why his death is important. Why what he did, his atoning death, why it was important, why it is, and why you need it. And you know, it's not a magic bullet. It's a spiritual thing so that you can have a clean slate with the Most High. But we still are responsible for our own actions. So we can't say, Messiah, I need you to take this from me. You got to also want to have it taken from you, and you got to also want to stop. And not only just want it, you got to actually what? Do it.
Do it.
Right. You got to do it. So, and then from there, you will find that he will help you because you have shown in your heart that you have made a commitment to it. And it will become easier and easier. So we will look at these things on next week. I'll try to move a little bit faster, make sure we get through these parts, these questions. And then on the week after, we'll be talking about how to receive salvation. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know. They're going by what the church says, say the sinner's prayer. You're going to find that in the scriptures. A lot of people are going to tell you, oh, just study the word. The more words you read, the more spirit you got. No, that's a lie too. So we need to understand what the truth is and how we actually receive salvation. Because we got to do what the Most High said. Amen?
Amen.
So those are the things that are coming up. We still got a lot to cover in this. Yeah, a lot to cover. So, this is the Most High's plan. We gotta be familiar with his plan. We gotta be more than familiar with it, and then we gotta buy into it. If you're not gonna buy into it, you might as well not what do it. And you might as well have as much fun as you can right now, because this is it for you. The next stop is the lake. I mean, we just gonna keep it real. And that's what the book even said. If you don't believe it, you might as well rape, rob, and pillage right now. And have your day, because this is it for you. But if you believe it, then you got to know, you got to sit down and say, what is it going to take for me to what? Live a wholesome life, live a holy life. You got to count the cost. And then you got to commit to it. So we already know what that is. Don't take your all. Just being real with every one of you. It's going to take your all. If you're not ready to give your whole heart and give your all, this ain't for you. I ain't going to even play with it with you. It ain't for you. But he tells us that's what it's going to take. I want your whole heart. You got to give me your all. And you can't love. Who can you love more than you love him?
No.
No bad.
Not
even yourself. He don't hide it from us. We just got to believe it. All right, with that being said, today is Tuesday. Nothing tomorrow. I am going to try to get a hold to the state tomorrow. The not the state, but the organization that covers the loan for the water and that kind of stuff that we've been talking about for the business meeting. We've got to contact them and find out if they will do the atmospheric water generator. You know, so we'll know where we're at, whether we got to go with a well and then go from there, or whether, you know, I can convince them that doing this atmospheric water generator is a better deal. And so I'm going to contact them tomorrow to do that. I've also been starting to work on, I think I told everybody I was going to try to do 2 windmills, but run them by an electric motor rather than running them by the wind, to see if we could, you know, produce electricity that way, get a couple of solar panels and connect them to a motor, connect that to the generator. So I'll see how many batteries it would take to run the motor and to run it overnight and then put it up under load with these 2 generators, wind generators. If that's the case, then, you know, if it doesn't work out right, then I can always put it up in the wind. But the goal is to try to make it run off a battery, and it should take less power because these are wind generators, so they don't take as much power to run. But I have started working on that project as well. So we will meet on Thursday for the business meeting. Then Friday, Sabbath, we will have another discipleship lesson. Because as you know, we're trying to become what? Disciples of Messiah, become like him. And so the only way we're going to become like him is to learn of him and his ways and do what he said to do. So we will have another discipleship lesson on Shabbat about Sabbath morning, Saturday. And then Sunday, spiritual wellness, we will continue in the readings that we have started on Black History. Because it was actually very enlightening, you know, a lot of the mentality, so that we know how to fight with this thing if we need to. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you, I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you, and I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, family. Where is my theme music at?
So what can I do if I don't have you? it's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you?
Do you have a question? Yeah. Not all the time, but yeah. Yeah.